This is New Beginnings, hosted by award-winning broadcaster and speaker Freddie Bell. A program for and about America's 78 million baby boomers. Here's your host, Freddie Bell.
Hi, everyone. This is New Beginnings. I am Freddie Bell. Glad you're with us today. And coming up on the show, many of our favorite partners, including Label Sternbach and friends from AARP Minnesota. All this plus the words to the wise on New Beginnings. And our program is underway right now. She is Dr. Roby. She's joined Hennepin Healthcare as their clinical outcomes director. That's a mouthful, but you do a lot of work, so you need a title like that. Thank you for being with us this morning.
I appreciate it, Freddie.
Dr. Fauci and Dr. Michael Osterholm, they've told us about these wonderful drugs that have taken COVID out of our system for the most part. However, are there any promising drugs for treating long COVID?
Good question. There is no cure for long COVID.
Oh, that makes me sad.
I know. And the thing is, though, Freddie, is that, you know, if we can think about it, we just recently went through the pandemic. It doesn't seem so. It seems a little far away just because we've started getting back into the new age of post-pandemic. But for the most part, research is still ongoing on the effects that we went through with the COVID process. So you mentioned the CDC and Dr. Fauci and things of that nature. That's what they are doing. Also, most healthcare organizations are also trying to do really important research so that we can look to see some of the effects that it has on our bodies. And so if I could just add into lean into, it is very, very important for our communities of color to participate in research. Now, let me backtrack because I want to be fully transparent and acknowledge that we went through the Tuskegee experiment and different things of that nature, and that is rightfully so to have concerns of that. However, when we are going through research, we should be an active participant. You should participate in community functions in which the organization is outreaching to have discussions, should we go through with this research and why. You should do your due diligence and find out what the research is about. And some of that research will actually lead into some of those cures, such as possibly long COVID, cancer, things of that nature.
So how do you talk, or what would you say to a person who we're right now, and you just mentioned that we're out of the pandemic phase of COVID-19, yet there are people today who've never taken one vaccine, and there are new vaccines happening every few months now, it seems.
Yes.
So what would be the message to those individuals?
Yes, and so very poignant because the Minnesota Department of Health actually just released some of that information on vaccine and the different vaccine combinations that they have out there. Vaccines are very important. If we have not learned anything through the process of what we went through with coronavirus and the disparities that happen with our persons of color, the individuals who were the ones that were affected the most were our Black African American population, our Native American population. We need to do better as far as actively seeking care for ourselves, which means getting vaccinations. That is, again, partnering with your primary care provider. If you're concerned about certain vaccinations, if you have questions about certain vaccinations, that's when you would sit down with your primary care person that you trust, that you've built this collaboration with over different amounts of time, and say, you know what, give me any side effects, give me any backstory about these vaccinations, how can this hurt me or harm me, and then that's where you move forward. But what I will say as a medical professional, please get your vaccinations. I made sure that myself, my family, my daughter, we were all vaccinated for COVID multiple times, and so that if I can do it and I would have my daughter do it, I would certainly for my patients suggest that as well.
Media outlets like this one puts out information about COVID-19, long COVID, and so forth, but what is the role of public health in this regard?
Very good. So with public health, what that does, especially since pandemics such as the coronavirus, they are embedded in to be responsible for educating communities about the diseases such as how how they are spread, how much they're at risk, and steps to how to reduce the risk of catching those diseases. Also, there's a central federal agency that is responsible for health and healthcare in the United States, and that's the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services. Also, the CDC that we mentioned, where their emergency supplemental funding supports range of critical activities, including epidemiology, surveillance, and contact tracing during scenarios such as COVID.
What would be your final thought, or even a prescription, if you will, for folks who are listening to you today about long COVID and any new diseases, even as benign, I'll say benign or as longstanding as measles? What would you suggest to, what would be the prescription for our communities listening to you today?
Long COVID and other diseases affect individuals within especially our communities of color. And doing segments like this, Freddie, is very important to raise awareness, also with the efforts to promote health and wellness in our healthcare organizations, such as Hennepin Healthcare, and your local church organizations, such as Grace Apocalyptic, who's helped in with our health board and things of that nature. You have certain agencies out there that really want to partner with you. Please, please partner with the individuals. Listen to segments such as this, where you're having yourself bring some individuals like myself who will have these conversations. Talk to your church congregation, their health and wellness boards. Go and partner with your primary care provider and your healthcare organization. Mm-hmm. There are also different things out there within the community that are free, that raise awareness. Sit at some of these seminars, educate yourself, look on the internet, and have those discussions within your family to say, how can we make sure that we can be the optimal health that we can be?
How can our listeners get more information directly from Dr. Miriam Roby?
I appreciate that. So if you're wanting to reach out to me, you can reach me at myriam.roby@hcmed.org.
She is Dr. Roby. Thank you for being with us this morning.
I appreciate it, Freddie. Thank you.
It's our pleasure. It's appointed listening every weekend right here on New Beginnings with Freddie Bell. And right now it's time for news from the lighter side of my desk.
Brace yourselves for big news.
It's pretty wacky, but it's true. A man took over the police frequency for Belch Radio. A Dutchman was sentenced to 20 months in jail for taking control of a police radio frequency and then belching over the airwaves. In addition to jail time, he also had to pay $1,900. And can you guess? 87% of us believe our employer should provide this free of charge. It's coffee. And eating two portions of mushrooms per week could cut your risk of abnormal brain decline in old age in half. Researchers found people who ate 300 grams or more of cooked mushrooms have a reduced risk of mild cognitive impairment. Mushrooms contain an amino acid which the body can't make for itself. Researchers at the National University of Singapore interviewed more than 600 Chinese over the age of 60 over the course of 6 years about their diet and their health. Those who ate more than two portions of cooked mushrooms each week were up to 50% less likely to have mild cognitive impairment. Wow.
Okay. Can you repeat the part of the stuff where you said all about the things? The things?
And they say, and you know how they are, that planning a wedding is more labor-intensive than it was 20 years ago. That's right. 40% of us believe it's harder than it was 20 years ago. The average couple will dedicate more than 9 hours to whittling down the guest list. 6 hours will be dedicated to picking the perfect flower arrangement for the venue, and 11 hours will be shopping for a bridal guest in tuxedos.
I look great in that.
Yeah, in 1989, maybe.
8 hours will be spent researching and speaking to caterers who might be suitable for that big day.
Why don't you eat some more pizza? It's all you ever do is eat pizza. No wonder you're bald and your wife left you.
And 9 hours deciding where to go for the honeymoon.
I'm having a fit!
From the lighter side of my desk this week, and I'm Freddie Bell.
I didn't like any of that.
Minnesota is home to a robust network of more than 300 food shelves that may be able to offer additional food support to families and individuals who are suffering from hunger. Hunger Solutions can locate a food shelf near you. Call the Minnesota Food Helpline at 1-888-711-1151. 888-711-1151 or use the interactive map at hungersolutions.org. This message powered by the Minnesota Department of Health.
Thank you for listening to New Beginnings. You can stay up to date with this show. All you have to do is go to Google or to Apple and download the Freddie Bell Radio Shows app. Yes, download the Freddie Bell Radio Shows app and you'll be up to date on everything concerning this show and anything related to Freddie Bell. More to come. Stay with us.
And now, our supporting partner, AARP in the Twin Cities.
Hi again, everyone. And now joining us is the AARP Minnesota State Director, Kathy McClear. Kathy, hello and welcome back. We got some great things to talk about today.
Hi, Freddie. Glad to be here.
Tell us about Traffic Safety Day. And I understand that's really coming up really soon.
Yeah, well, it's spring. At least we hope it's spring, right? So folks are getting out, they're moving around the community, maybe planning some road trips. And it's a really great time of year to think about traffic safety and how you can be a safer driver and keep your fellow motorists on the road safe along with you.
When will this event take place, Traffic Safety, and how can we as listeners take part in it?
Yeah, so Traffic Safety Day will be Saturday, April 20th at the Huntington Bank Rotunda. That's at the Mall of America, of course, from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. And this is a group of folks, so AARP Driver Safety, Minnesota Towards Zero Deaths, and the Minnesota Department of Transportation. We'd love everybody to come out and just get some information on road safety, how to be a safer driver while you're getting out and about around the community this spring.
It's been a really good collaboration between AARP and the Minnesota Department of Transportation. Can you tell us about that?
Yeah, this is a great collaboration. And of course, this has been a really important issue for AARP for 45 years.
Wow.
Our AARP driver safety course started in 1979. Folks might remember that it was called 55 Alive. And it was really the first in the nation education program for older drivers. So whether you've been driving for 20 years, 30 years, 40 years, it never hurts to brush up on those skills. And we have just a slew of volunteers who, this program is all volunteer driven. And these folks are providing driver safety and refresher safety courses to older drivers in Minnesota. And we know that we have more than 30,000 folks in Minnesota who participate in those in-person classes every year, either online or in person. And so this is really a culmination of the work that we do with some of those other community partners to just raise visibility for the importance of safe driving.
Everyone, we're talking with Kathy McClear about safe driving, and there's a big event happening at Huntington Bank Rotunda at the Mall of America on Saturday, April 20th. So what can we expect when we go to the Mall of America and see the exhibits?
Sure. So in the rotunda, we'll have, you know, lots of information for folks that they can, get information about impaired driving, engineering safety features. You know, cars are far, far different today than when I started driving. Mm-hmm. We'll have first responders, some school bus safety. And as we age, our bodies change. Our vision changes, maybe our mobility changes. Maybe we take some medications. And it's really important to take all of that into consideration and make sure that we are updating our driving skills and our driving habits as we age.
So this is really comprehensive. Can you talk a little bit? I know we've covered it before, but it's worth mentioning again, the Driver Safety We Need to Talk program.
Yeah, so the same day as Traffic Safety Day at the Mall of America, we will hold two workshops, one at 11 and one at 1 p.m. One is Driver Safety We Need to Talk, and that's addressing the real concerns if someone maybe is having some memory issues, some dementia issues, or maybe has some physical limitations that might be time to say, you know what, let's look for some different ways to get you around the community, because it's really hard to give up those keys. Giving up the keys is like giving up independence. So we'll have that session at 11, and then Smart Driver Tech. I bought a new-to-me car about a year ago, and that thing has so many bells and whistles, I still haven't figured out what all they do. And so Smart Driver Tech, that starts at 1 p.m., that will talk about the new technology in cars. And, of course, folks can learn all about this and register for those events at aarp.org/MN events.
All right. Well said. She's AARP Minnesota State Director Kathy McClear, and you're listening to New Beginnings. It's time now for my song of the week. Billy Dee Williams recently celebrated his 87th birthday. He starred along pop star Diana Ross in her portrayal of legendary singer Billie Holiday in the biographical drama Lady Sings the Blues, released in 1972. The film depicts her early attempts at a singing career and her eventual rise to stardom, as well as her difficult relationship with Louis McKay, Billie Dee Williams, her boyfriend and manager. His birthday made me think of the feature song of that film, God Bless a Child. It was a song written by Billie Holiday and Arthur Herzog Jr. in 1939, first recorded on May 9, 1941. Here's Dinah Ross's version of that song. It's God Bless the Child, my song of the week.
Them that's got shall get, them that's not shall lose. So the Bible says, and it still is news. Mama may have, Papa may have, but God bless the child that's got his. Got his own. Yeah, the strong gets more, while the weak ones fade. Empty pockets don't ever make the grave. Mama may have, Papa may have, but God bless the child that's got his own, that's got his own. Money you got, lots of friends crowding round the door. When it's Mama may have, Papa may have, but God bless the child that's got his own, that's got his own.
That's Diana Ross with a Billie Holiday cover of God Bless the Child. Lady Sings the Blues earned an estimated $9 million in rentals alone in 1973. Motown released a hugely successful soundtrack double album of Ross's recordings of Billie Holiday's songs from the film, also titled Lady Sings the Blues. The album went to number one on the Billboard Hot 200 album charts for the week ending April 7th and 14th, 1973. I'm Freddie Bell, and I invite you to download the Freddie Bell Radio Show's app, and let's talk more about the music. Here are today's words to the wise. Love has a life of its own. It's a dynamic and powerful force that transcends human control and understanding. Love exists independently with its own energy, growth, and destiny, much like a living entity. Love can inspire us, evolving over time, taking on a life of its own, leading us on unexpected journeys and shaping our lives in really big ways. It has the ability to inspire, transform, and endure despite the challenges and uncertainties of life. Today's words to the wise, love has a life of its own.
Introducing the New Beginnings podcast, featuring career, health, and financial information for people on the go. To get your fresh start, visit freddiebell.com/newbeginnings. Check out the New Beginnings podcast today.
Get the most from AARP, including advice and support to help you care for your loved ones. Fraud prevention with tips and tools to help protect you from scams and fraud, including a free helpline if you've been targeted, a scam tracking map, and watchdog alerts via email through the AARP Fraud Watch Network. If you don't know AARP, you don't know ARP.
More information at AARP.org.
1 out of every 100 people over the age of 65 will become a victim of financial fraud.
Never saw it coming.
He wiped us out.
This must be stopped.
He told us we had no choice.
The Center for Combating Elder Financial Abuse conducts extensive research and provides comprehensive training to individuals and organizations to help prevent elder financial abuse.
He wiped us out.
How could this happen?
Join the fight at endefa.org.
This is a news-oriented broadcast, and all information is educational in nature, is not intended to be legal, securities, tax, or insurance advice. Please consult with the appropriate professional before acting on information heard during the broadcast.
You're listening to New Beginnings.
New Beginnings with Freddie Bell.
Today we're going to talk about the biggest mistakes people make with Roth conversions and how to avoid them. We're going to talk about Aunt Irma, Uncle Ronald, RMD, and our good old friend Uncle Sam. So stick around while we go through the nitty-gritty of what you need to know before doing a Roth conversion. Hi, everyone. I'm Freddie Bell, and now it's time to talk finance with Label Sternbach, Amazon's best-selling author of Living with Financial Anxiety, and he's also the author of the book Authenticity. On this episode of Label on Fire, we're going to be talking about all the uncles and all the aunts and all the Roth IRAs. Label, hello, and welcome back to the show.
I'm doing good. How are you?
Unbelievable. Unbelievable. You know, I'm really excited about this, but I don't want to assume that our audience know exactly what a Roth conversion is. Can we start there as a basic to lay the foundation?
Yeah. So a Roth conversion, and I'm going to use my definition of a Roth conversion, which I think is a little different than, you know, kind of the industry standard. Which is the way I look at a Roth conversion is you deciding when and how to pay taxes on your retirement money. Traditionally, you would have, you know, the IRS would determine when you take that money out or when you take it out to fund your lifestyle, you pay taxes on it. Doing a Roth conversion allows you to pull that money out of that account when it's convenient for you, pay taxes on it, and then set it aside in a tax-free account that grows tax-free. And when you take the money out, it's tax-free. And obviously, we're talking about the government, so there's always strings attached. But for the most part, for planning purposes, generally speaking, right, that money gets to be tax-free for the future. And it's about prepaying that taxes when it's convenient for you.
All right. We're talking with Label Sternbach about Roth conversion. So it seems like there's a lot of opinions out there, Label, about Roth conversions. Do them when you are in a lower tax bracket, as you mentioned. Don't trigger something called an IRMA or an IRMA. Go into a higher tax bracket. What are your thoughts? Let's just take them one at a time, if you don't mind.
So let's talk about what IRMA is, and then we can talk about whether, you know, in understanding what it is, you can decide whether it's something that really matters to you, right? So when we talk about, you know, retirement, right, we've got Social Security, we've got Medicare. And, you know, you got your income needs. And so when we are taking Medicare, Medicare is an insurance program run by the government, right? It's run by the Social Security Administration. And they charge you a premium, right, for having this insurance. Now, depending on, you know, what you're getting and whatnot, they may say, well, it's free for you, or you have to pay, you know, X number of dollars. IRMA is a surcharge, you know, a tax, if you will, that is levied upon people who make, quote unquote, too much money. So if you make too much money in retirement, the, you know, Medicare Administration, Social Security Administration will come to you and they will say, well, listen, you're making too much money. We need you to pay more in insurance because you can afford it. Now, we know that that, you know, is kind of irrelevant. But that's just one of the ways that our government kind of puts the stealth tax. You know, they, nobody cares about it except for those people who are retired and, you know, who are, you know, actually trying to get, you know, get by on more than rice and beans. You know, they have to worry about this IRMA. So IRMA is a surcharge that is charged on how much you pay for your Medicare. The question really is, you know, when people get scared about it and they're like, well, I don't want to trigger that IRMA, the, you know, don't get sidetracked from the reason why you would be doing Roth conversions. Roth conversions, you know, they, when you pull the money out, it becomes taxed as ordinary income. It shows up on your tax return. It can trigger IRMA, you know, that surcharge if you're pulling out too much money, no different than if you were paying, you know, getting paid a lot in a W-2 job. The real question becomes, is the amount of money that you're saving, right, that you were willing to pay this upfront taxes on, is it still more, you know, factoring in IRMA than you would if you waited until later and pulled, you know, your money out as the government wants? And so you really just need to factor that into your calculation and not look at it as something that I'm scared to trigger IRMA, right? It's just money that you're paying to the government. And really, it doesn't matter whether it's going to the IRS or it's going to the Medicare administration.
So that's really simple. Is it as simple as, okay, I understand what I'm doing, just making a calendar entry, for example, to know when you should act on certain aspects of IRMA or RMDAs?
So the required minimum distributions is, you know, that you'll know ahead of time, because that's the government says, you know, depending on your age, this is how much money you have to pull out of your retirement accounts each year. You know, right. It used to be 70 and a half, then they moved it to 72. Now it's 73, depending on your age. And so depending on how old you are, you know, every year they say, well, you have to pull out this percentage of money from your retirement accounts, your traditional retirement accounts, your 401ks, your 403bs, you know, your IRAs. So you need to pull that money out. When you pull that money out, it gets taxed as ordinary income, as if you got paid for a job, right? So this allows Congress to, you know, kind of harvest this investment they've made in your future by letting you get that tax deduction when you put the money in. So they're guaranteeing that they're going to get their money back, that you're not going to be able to sit on that money tax-free for forever. Now, having said that, right, so those are required minimum distributions. If the amount of money that you need to live on is going to be less than your required minimum distributions, or you're worried that taxes are going to go up significantly in the future, then you would, right, conceivably, it would make sense that you would save money if you pay taxes now on your money rather than waiting for some time in the future. Mm-hmm. But like anything in life, it's not that simple, right? If it was a simple calculation, we wouldn't have 80,000, you know, pages of the IRS tax code. We wouldn't have, you know, the most complex tax system in the world. Because, you know, that's what keeps people in business. We would, you know, things would be very simple and we'd be like other countries. So because we have that complexity, that means that those calculations aren't so straightforward. And you've got to factor in things like IRMA. You got to factor in, you know, the tax deductions and tax exclusions, because all of those things have an impact on how much taxes you're actually going to pay. And I think you should just look at IRMA and RMDs as, you know, those are things that could influence your decision one way or the other. Now, you know, from my standpoint, generally speaking, I've very rarely seen IRMA have a significant impact. And I would really, I would really say that if the deciding factor for you of whether to do a Roth conversion or not is based on your IRMA, on that surcharge that you have for earning too much, I think that you need to reevaluate whether actually a Roth conversion makes sense for you or not. Because if that is a factor in your calculation, chances are that you are you're hitting yourself with more taxes now than you would actually have in retirement. And you may be, and you're worrying, you know, that should be an indication to you that that doing a Roth conversion might not actually be saving you money.
Lavelle Sternbach joining us this week. So what's the biggest mistake in your opinion that people are making right now when they're doing these Roth conversions?
I think the biggest mistake is looking at their retirement or looking at the Roth conversion decision in isolation. And they'll say, well, you know, I have this money and it's going to be subject to RMDs. They don't think about what those RMDs will be. And then they say, well, I just want to save as much money as possible in taxes and I'm going to convert it all. Right. Or they convert very aggressively and they look at it in isolation from, well, how much income do they actually need in retirement, right? What their required minimum distributions are going to be in the future, and will it be more than their income needs or not? And then, you know, they look at it in isolation from what their potential taxes are in the future. You know, you got to look at things in context, and you got to look at how it's going to impact your retirement lifestyle at the end of the day, right? Because remember, you're paying taxes on it. That means you're taking that hit up front in terms of your portfolio balance. And I really, you know, I hear people justify and saying, well, I have this money in my savings account, I have this money in my checking account to pay for the taxes. That doesn't stop it from being your money. It doesn't stop it from being money that you're going to use to fund your retirement. And you need all your dollars to be working for you. Right? Like the fact that it's in a different account doesn't stop it from being money that should be working for you. And so when it comes to doing these calculations, you got to think about it as you're doing calculus, not algebra, right? You're not doing simple arithmetic. You're doing a complex equation that has multiple pieces moving together at the same time. And you need to really see how it interacts with those other pieces. Otherwise, I can virtually guarantee that you're going to be making the wrong decision.
So making wrong decisions, what about the mistakes people make with the five-year rule? Can you explain what that is and how people get tripped up with that?
Yeah, absolutely. So the five-year rule says, so there's two rules when it comes to Roth conversions that you really need to keep in mind. So remember, right, for every positive thing that we have, there is a counterweight to it, right? There's no such thing as a free lunch. Especially in this country, right? We firmly do not believe in free lunches. And so when you do a Roth conversion and you take that money and you say, and Congress is basically saying, we're not going to, you know, take taxes from it ever again. So we're relinquishing our rights to that money in theory. That doesn't mean they can't come back later and change their minds. But as the tax code is written right now, right, they're relinquishing their rights. But in order to do that, they're going to give you some caveats. One caveat is they're going to say, we want this money to be used for retirement, right? We don't want you to use this money for, you know, buying a business. We don't want you to use this money to go on a vacation. We want this for your retirement. And in order to ensure that it's for your retirement, you can't touch this until you're 59 and a half. Or for 5 years. Now, keep in mind, this only applies to the growth, right? So because you already pay taxes on your contribution or your conversion, right? So it doesn't apply to that money. You can pull that out. But it's on the growth when you take that money out and you're not paying taxes on this money that ordinarily you would have paid money on because it's new money. That's where these penalties start coming in, and they want you to have had it in the account for five or more years and be 59 and a half. And this applies to every single conversion you do, right? So every time you do a conversion, it starts a new five-year clock. Mm-hmm. So when you're doing this conversion, it's another one of those red flags. If you're like, I'm going to be living on this money in the next 5 years, chances are a Roth conversion is not right for you, not because of this rule, but because you're not going to have enough time to actually realize any of the benefits, and all you're doing is front-loading your taxes. Which, again, right, just because you're front-loading your taxes doesn't mean it's a wrong decision, but it might not be the right decision for you. You got to look into the context. And I literally, you know, a day doesn't go by where I don't talk to one retiree where, you know, I give one recommendation and say, this is absolutely the best decision for you. And then to someone else, I'll say the exact same thing is the absolute worst thing that they can do for their retirement, for the financial security and retirement. And it's all because, you know, everything is really based on your personal situation. What's right for one person is not right for the next person. And you got to figure out how these numbers work together.
That makes sense. Got one final question before we have to step away. Can you give us, as we say goodbye, some tips on avoiding Roth conversion mistakes, Label?
Number one, don't give in to the fear mongering that, you know, taxes are going to go up. And so therefore you should do Roth conversions, right? That's tip number one. Figure out the numbers, map it out, and see if it makes sense for you, right? Don't make financial decisions on something that maybe will happen. Make decisions based on things that you have a high degree of certainty about. That's number one. Number two, do not get caught up in this illusion of tax-free money in retirement using life insurance. This is all the rage now. People really are preying on people on this tax-free money in retirement using life insurance. It is not quite what it looks like. And so you really need to make sure that whatever you're doing makes sense for you and map it out. And you should have no doubts that this is the best thing, the best decision for you. And if you aren't certain that you're making the best decision, then I would really question whether it is what you should be doing.
Makes a lot of sense. We got to leave it right there. But if you like more information about Roth conversions and also all the acronyms that we share with you today, just go to yieldsforyou.com. That's yields, the number four, the letter U.com for more information. Join us again next week as we discuss specific strategies for how to make the most of your Roth conversion. I'm Freddie Bell, and more New Beginnings is straight ahead. Just in case you're wondering, you're listening to New Beginnings, and it happened this week. In 1965, Reverend Martin Luther King Jr. led 25,000 marchers into Montgomery, Alabama, to protest the denial of voting rights to blacks. In 1987, the Supreme Court ruled employers may sometimes favor women and members of minority groups over men and whites in hiring and promoting in order to achieve better balance in the workforce. In 1994, the last U.S. soldiers left Mogadishu, Somalia, although a handful remained behind to protect U.S. diplomats and to provide support for U.N. peacekeepers. In 1995, boxer Mike Tyson was released from the Indiana Youth Center after serving 3 years for raping beauty pageant contestant Desiree Washington. In 1999, former Major League Baseball player and manager Cal Ripken Sr. died at the age of 63. In 2006, Country Music Hall of Fame legend Buck Owens died at his home in Bakersfield. He was 76. Owens helped bring country music into the mainstream as a longtime host of the television show Hee Haw. In 2016, the Rolling Stones made musical history with a free concert in Havana. A crowd of about 500,000 turned out for what was billed as the first open-air concert in Cuba by a British rock band. And in 2019, due to lack of spacesuits able to fit women, NASA canceled a historic all-female spacewalk. It happened this week, and I'm Freddie Bell. Vaccines.gov is your trusted source for vital vaccine information, offering a user-friendly platform to access up-to-date details on vaccines, including COVID-19, discover nearby vaccination locations, understand vaccine safety, and access resources for healthcare providers. With multilingual support and comprehensive educational materials, Vaccine.gov empowers individuals and communities to make informed decisions, promoting public health through vaccination. Stay informed, stay protected is all at your fingertips on Vaccines.gov, a message from the Minnesota Department of Health.
Sometimes you want to go where everybody knows your name.
You want to be in a place where people know your name. The message is positive and you feel fulfilled. Come be inspired at Unity South Church. Unity South is a non-denominational spiritual community with roots in love, acceptance, and prayer. We believe that you have an indwelling spark of divinity. Come visit us this Sunday for the interactive discussion at 9 a.m. or the regular service at 10:30 a.m. Unity South is located at 7950 First Avenue South in Bloomington. A stimulating and uplifting Sunday school for preschool through 18 years old. Unity South Church, embracing, loving, empowering. Well, everybody knows your name.
Thank you for listening to New Beginnings. You can stay up to date with this show. All you have to do is go to Google or to Apple and download the Freddie Bell Radio Shows app. Yes, download the Freddie Bell Radio Shows app, and you'll be up to date on everything concerning this show and anything related to Freddie Bell. More to come. Stay with us. As New Beginnings continues, we now take you to the spirituality portion of our program, where we introduce the senior minister of Unity South Twin Cities, the Reverend James Stacy. We now join Reverend Stacy with a program already in progress.
A friend recently told me, "I'm looking around for a new house. I'm about to turn 80, and she said, "I've got one good move left in me." And she was all excited, ready to go. So how do we approach an obstacle, perhaps even a wonderful promotion at work? Whatever, it doesn't have to be a bad experience, but what is the attitude that we take into it? I'd like to suggest these four steps. It's what I've been working with in my life. Maybe it'll be helpful. One, affirm the potential for good. Whatever you're facing, affirm the potential for good. It's like me looking for a new home. This can be good. This can be better. This can be a wonderful, refreshing change for me. Then feel the possibility. Let it sink down into your bones, this sense of, wow, this is going to be great. Feel it. Don't do what I do and skip over the feeling. I get the thought of possibility, the idea of something new being even better than where I am right now. But take the time to feel it. Because when you feel it and you get it down into your bones, your physical body relaxes. You don't walk around tense. You don't have to go see someone for chiropractic, for drugs to relax you, or my preference, a massage to release the tension. You can help yourself by feeling the possibility. Then act on faith. Act on faith. I started doing research. And then four, give thanks for the potential, the possibility. Give thanks that you're acting with faith. You believe in the goodness of God. You believe in life's ability to renew, to transform, to constantly make your situation better. Charles Fillmore, in his 94th year, made a statement that has become one of his most famous quotations, because it's not only an idea, it's a feeling, if you allow it. He spoke in his wonderful Midwestern drawl, like me, "I fairly sizzle with zeal and enthusiasm and spring forth with a mighty faith to do the things that ought to be done by me. What I can do. What I'm willing to do. Not affirming what T. Michael ought to do. What Gerald ought to do. This is about seizing the energy, the zeal we celebrate in a window in this room. Enthusiasm. The power of God, of Spirit working in your life, seizing you and filling you with an energy, a joy, an expectation of good. He also said, another one of my favorites, but I paraphrase, we cannot grasp and affirm the truth of God without receiving a blessing and healing. Isn't that a wonderful thought? You see, Charles called himself a Neoplatonist, one who believes in divine ideas, principles of life, and that they are real, and if you seize them, grasp them, think them, feel them, speak them, they bless you with power and with the divine substance that stands behind everything in this world. They're there. What were those amazing words of Jesus Christ? It is the Father, the Eternal One's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. And Jesus went on in his ministry on earth speaking of this kingdom. Do you know the kingdom of God or kingdom of heaven is the most often used phrase in the gospel? Repeated the most number of times because Jesus kept talking about it, defining it, characterizing it, creating an image for his listeners of this kingdom of pure potential, this kingdom of possibility, that if you grasp it, if you have faith in it, if you think it and speak it and act on it, things happen. Things come in to being. The Daily Word today puts it perhaps in a little more relaxed, refined way and says, I feel the presence and power of God as I pray. Praying is not you following some pattern that you've learned in church, or you've learned from me, or you've come across somewhere in your life. To pray is simply to turn your attention to the presence and power of God, the pure potential for good, the formula of creation. Or in King Arthur's day, they call that magic the word of creation. It was a God-given formula for shaping our lives, our community, our world. You're doing it all the time. That's the good news. You're already doing it. I'm not telling you anything new. I'm saying, look. Look what's possible. Claim it. Work toward it. And then I like to bring up one of our lessons in truth from H. Emily Cady, who, when she said when you're envisioning something possible, a potential that you want to see brought into manifestation, remember, the battle is not yours. It is God's. The battle is not yours, it is God's.
You just heard a message coming from the Reverend James Stacy, the senior minister of Unity South in the Twin Cities. More information is found at their website at unitysouth.org. And today is National Deep Dish Pizza Day. It gives pizza lovers a day to celebrate one of America's favorite varieties of pizza. Whether it's dine-in, delivered, takeout, or homemade, Deep Dish Pizza satisfies pizza lovers all across the country. Pick whatever topping you like, too. This day focuses on the deep crust that holds an amazing amount of sauce and toppings. Like other styles of pizza, the Deep Dish menu offers a variety of combinations to choose from. If you prefer an all-meat pizza, the Deep Dish makes it. You can even top it off with vegetables or even order extra mushrooms, whatever you like. And did you know that the annual production of pizza cheese in the United States in 1997 was 2 billion pounds and that the first United States pizza establishment opened in 1905 in New York, Little Italy? And also, pizza has become one of America's favorite meals. Today is National Deep Dish Pizza Day. Enjoy a slice. That's our show, and thanks to our special guests for stopping by and sharing information that we hope can change lives. If you missed any of today's show, you can subscribe to our podcast or just Google Freddie Bell or stop by my website of the same name. Thanks for listening, and remember that each day is a chance for a new beginning. See you next week.